From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
The days are getting shorter, and in my northern garden, they're growing cooler too. I know my houseplants will be screaming soon to come back inside, and then screaming all winter about the less than ideal conditions I'm offering and how they'd like me to do better, please. Today's guest does better, using all the technical insights he can to make more than 100 houseplants feel at home in his Toronto condominium. But he also accepts that his place is not a conservatory or commercial greenhouse. It's not perfect. More in a moment, but first, this message.
Underwriting support by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, supplying landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners with new ideas and high-quality flower bulbs for fall planting. Plant tulips, plant daffodils, plant Color Blends this fall. Available at colorblends.com.
Daryl Chang is better known on Instagram as @houseplantjournal, and as one of his 620,000 followers, I can say I enjoy being treated to his frequent posts showing off his latest insights from ambitiously growing a condo full of diverse houseplants. He began sharing his earliest houseplant adventures on Tumblr in 2013 and has grown his audience and more houseplants exponentially ever since. He's the author of the book, The New Plant Parent, and creates the popular website, houseplantjournal.com. Hi, Daryl. I'm so glad to talk again.
Hi, Margaret. It's great to talk to you again, too.
Yeah. Before we get started, I want to say with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com, we'll have a giveaway of your book. So I'm excited to share that with a winner.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was so glad that we got to do earlier this year the New York Times garden column together in spring when I was taking my houseplants out for the season. So as I get ready to bring them in,
Time flies, really, doesn't it?
Does. And so I'm like sort of right now reciting to myself as I need to bring them in some of your wisdoms and philosophy that you shared, especially one thing which you said to me, plants will grow in the shape of your light. The way a plant looks is not just because of your good care, but the environment you have. So it's all about the light, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always consider plants, when I look at them, I use my engineering mind and I look at it like it's a little solar powered sugar factory. You know, I mean, at the heart of photosynthesis, that's really all it is, right?
Yes. Yes. And so the same plant, the same variety, even a division of the same literal plant grown in your house, in my house, or in the commercial greenhouse where maybe it originated years ago, it's going to look different.
Absolutely. Yes. And you know, the really insightful, like, I guess, surprising thing I would say is that the actual amount of light that is collected in various places between different people's homes is actually so varied. And, you know, I think a lot of times, I mean, we know for a fact that there's more light at the greenhouse. We know for a fact, if you have huge south facing windows, you know, northern hemisphere, you know, you're going to get more light, but we don't often, or rarely, would we ever actually collect all that light and, you know, measure out the DLI, the daily light integral, on them. And I've been fortunate enough to actually run a few experiments where I put light sensors, you know, in my condo, in my parents' condo, in a friend's condo for, you know, a couple of weeks at a time, and really actually learned that, that the light varies in like tenfold differences.
Huh. In the same place or within among those several places?
So between the different places. So basically, yeah. If you don't mind, I'll just go right into the little experiment that I've been doing.
Cool.
I have two what are called quantum sensors. They measure the PAR, the photosynthetic active radiation, and they have the ability to log the data. I set it to log every 5 minutes. So if you imagine you have a little light sensor placed in the room and you just kind of let it sit there for 2 weeks, then daily it'll just kind of capture the amount of light that's collected. And the reason I have two of these is because I usually do two at a time. So one is, you know, close to the window, one is far from the window. And that way, when I look at the data, like looking at the graphs, then I can see the between the changes in, you know, weather patterns, but then the overall kind of trend between, like, the difference between close to the window and far from the window, and right, the difference is drastic, and just totally surprising. And it's almost like for me, because it's so clear to me, because I have the numbers, my sort of like take home advice is, if you have houseplants, they need to be as close to the window as possible.
Yes, they do. They do. They do. And it's that you mentioned, you sort of have this engineer brain. And what I loved is that when we got to know each other a little bit this spring, you know, you, even though you, I think you began getting serious with the houseplant hobby, you know, it's not even 10 years ago, is it? Isn't it in the last 10 years or something? But you like availed yourself of these tools. Now you're talking about a sophisticated one, these PAR PAR meters. Is that right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You know, even a basic light meter, one of the light meter apps on a phone, on a cell mm-hmm. phone. You have a chart on your website on houseplantjournal.com that talks about the amount of light as relative to certain plants' needs. And I mean, you know, everybody just, the labels of plants say things like, you know, bright indirect light or medium light or like, and that's not data, right? You can't, that's in my house, your house, what I think is bright is going to be different from mm-hmm. what you think is bright, right?
That's right. It's all about being concrete, like something that you can, like, you know, we talk about the scientific method. Something has to be repeatable, right? So mm-hmm. when I say to somebody, it's a, you know, medium light or something like that, it means nothing to the, what are you supposed to say to that? But I will contrast that to outdoor gardeners, and their designations for light actually make sense. Like full sun, I mean, casually we might think, oh, okay, well, the sun is shining on it. Well, no. The real definition is 6 or more hours yes. exposed to the sun, right? And the reason I really like the outdoor metrics is because they are all based on the singular metric of hours of sun exposure. And so once you have like that metric like set in stone in terms of like what you're talking about in terms of what's different, then the categories, meaning full sun, you know, part shade, and then full shade, all of these categories actually make sense because they're all aligned on the same metric, right? But right. indoors, it's like the Wild West, because who has exactly the same obstructions? Who has exactly the same size windows? Who has exactly the same size window treatments that change the transmission of light? It's right. all so different. And the reason I always advocate for measuring is because then the measurement takes into account all of these variables and just gives you a number.
Right. And so which, if we were getting started, if we all, as again, we're a lot of the people listening are gardeners, they have outdoor space. I know you have a balcony and I want to talk about that in a minute, about some of your outdoor experiments this year on your balcony, but which I love, by the way. But you know, if we're just getting started and we've never measured the light and we're still at the stage, like most of us are, with like, well, I'm going to put it near the window, it's kind of bright and direct, you know, that kind of vague generic stuff. Hmm. What meter, what gear, what, where would we start? Probably not with the sophisticated tools you're talking about using in your experiment.
Right. I mean, the sophisticated tools, I would say that the reason I'm using them is because let's imagine, like, this is, I usually do this with a presentation and it's like visual, but let's, you know, visualize this, but like the idea of resolution, like in a photo, right? Mm-hmm. If you have 3000 pixels by 3000 pixels, well then the picture will be pretty clear and you could probably print it to a certain size. But imagine if I only had 100 by 100 then pixels, then at some point a lot of details would be lost. And then imagine if I really went just crazy and just said 10 pixels by 10 pixels, and well, you could barely make out any kind of detail, right?
Right.
So the point of getting the really sophisticated instruments is so that I can develop the most like clear picture of what light really behaves, like how it really behaves indoors. And then that way I can inform a much better, like vague, kind of guideline. And mm-hmm. again, I already said the guideline, which is put your plants as close to the window as possible. And I guess the secondary part of that is, yeah, accept that people who have bigger windows and less obstructed windows will simply have better growing plants. And that's just the sort of, you know, real life hard truth about it.
Yes.
So anyway, back to the, if you, okay, now we come to this realization, and now you're sort of saying to yourself, okay, now I really want to get a number and understand how to measure so that like I have better expectations for, you know, whether my ficus is gonna actually grow taller or if it's gonna kind of stay the same for a couple of years, right? So I would say if I was to break down how to measure light, if you're gonna start with a light meter, any light meter will do, even on an app. I mean, they're not all very accurate only because the hardware on different phones is very different. And trust me, I've tried this. I have a lot of developer friends, and so we've tried already building an app on Android, and we realized that as we installed the app on different phones, that all different phones, especially on Android, have completely different sensitivities on their light sensor.
Right.
And the purpose is because the purpose of a light sensor on a phone is not to measure light. It is only to tell the automatic screen brightness how bright to make the screen.
Oh, so
okay. If you think about that, that's the reason why they don't need such precise.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah, anyway.
So is there like so if I were looking for a light meter, am I looking in a photo department, or I'm looking for a light meter? I mean, just so that I know, and I know you have some things on your site, you sort of have a shop, and I don't know if you have a light meter, but I just wondered, is there anywhere I should seek one?
Well, if you one? Just on even like on Amazon or on, yeah, photography shops probably have it too.
Okay.
Although they're less, you know, they're photography light meter. The reason why old school, you know, film cameras needed light meters, external light meters, was right, because in the day, the technology on the camera itself was not right that great.
The metering now, wasn't, yeah.
Exactly. So nowadays on the camera itself, you know, meters its own light completely fine. You know, it doesn't need an external light meter, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, like a light meter, a photography one might be a little bit antiquated.
Okay. So what I'll do is, well, maybe with the transcript, what we'll do is I'll find some links. I'll check them with you and offer people some suggestions of like where to look, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Even if you just look up light meter or lux meter,
Lux. Okay.
Then you're going to start getting into the kind of light meters that are
perfect,
readily available.
Perfect. You just reiterated sort of your philosophy about light in the post you did on Instagram about a Sansevieria, a snake plant or mother-in-law's tongue or whatever. And you said you won't achieve nursery level lighting, but you can learn to love and accept different leaves. And people may have seen in the houseplant department of their nursery, they may have seen a Sansevieria, and it may be, I don't know, 18 inches tall or whatever. And then they may bring it home, and a few years later, if they still have it, it may be 3 feet tall. And it's not just because it's an older plant. It may be because it's not getting as much light, right?
Right, right. And I think this is actually an important point, because now that, for example, I know the reason those leaves are thinner, now right, I have to say to myself, do I still love the plant? And I mean, it's perfectly fine to say, no, I don't like it anymore, right?
Right.
But what I'm saying is that instead of the first kind of advice being like, for example, I could have posted that picture and said, these are the skinny leaves that grew in my house. Therefore, it got too little light. And that kind of leaves the reader thinking, oh, then I always have to strive for nursery level lighting. I always have to go for, you know, getting grow lights all the time. But no. I'm saying that this is the light level it gets in the nursery, 5,000 foot candles, roughly, for the whole day. This is the level it gets in my home, 100 to 200 foot candles. And right, this is the result. So now, are you okay with it? You know what? I'm kind of like leaving it open to people.
Right. I mean, and what you just said, the numbers, like in the sort of greenhouse nursery ideal environment where they're propagating thousands of plants to sell, you know, and so forth, 5,000 foot candles. And then in your home, 100 to 200 foot candles, and yet you're growing over 100 plants. Do you know what I mean? It's so, we have to, you know, love the leaves we're with, you know?
Right. You know, I also think about in terms of, even if I kind of analogize it to like human growth, right? Like a child is a rapidly growing human, right? Especially when they get to teenager. Right. But once you're an adult, you know, now I'm an adult and realizing that, well, I don't need to eat as much as I used to. So when I think about the food that I used to eat and the amount, well, nowadays, I don't even feel like I can't even eat that much, right? and my activity, physical activity, is all different. I can't, you know, I used to play floor hockey a lot. I can't play it as long, although because of COVID I stopped. But like, you know, you feel it all different. And so we automatically know, for humans, we wouldn't say, well, I used to eat, you know, two Big Macs and I felt fine, but now I don't, right? So same with plants, is that in the nursery, they are working with a plant in a very specific life stage, because they're buying it, you know, as a product and wanting to raise it to a certain quote unquote sellable level. And then after that, it's like the plant has reached its adulthood. So we don't need to, you know, grow it to that degree in our homes. I mean, realistically, what we're doing in our homes is just kind of like letting it live out the rest of its life as nicely as possible.
Yes. Do you, and again, there's a great chart on your site, and I'm going to give the link to that, about the foot candle ranges that different species of houseplants can adapt to. And it's quite shocking. Some are more adaptable than others, and who's who, again, in all those generic terms that we think of, oh, this is a low light plant, this is a bright indirect light plant. It sort of goes way past that. So I'm going to give the link to that. You know, you have some artificial lights, I assume, in your space.
Yes. Oh, yes, I have lots of artificial lights.
Uh-huh. And are you like, are most of them LEDs, or what's kind of?
They are all LEDs. And, you know, most of them are usually kind of supporting some, you know, some growth of some plants. There are some that I would say are just kind of like ambient ones that are just above the quote unquote low light plants to kind of just give them a boost for the rest of the day because they're maybe a bit farther from the window.
Right.
And then I have other ones that are more specialized, that they kind of like house that plant exclusively. So some of them are far into my living room, and I just turn them on when I wake up and turn them off when I go to bed.
So certain plants have a special light so that that plant can live in that space in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of augment and give it a special light for an individual plant. Are some in cases and stuff, like are some sort of shelving units or cases that have lights within them?
Oh yeah. So I do the, like, I think it's a very popular thing on Instagram, the IKEA greenhouse cabinet.
Yes.
So I have the tall kind of white one, and normally it has like glass shelves, but I've taken it out and replaced it with like a kind of wire grid, so I can kind of, it's more modular to move the shelves around.
Ah.
And yeah, there's grow lights installed inside that, and they're all on a timer. So, you know, everything's kind of nice and automated, and all I got to do is water them.
Yeah. I loved, I think it was even maybe this week, maybe just a couple of days ago on Instagram, again, you showed the results. And this is what's so great is you, if people don't know your work, is that not only are you working from data and measuring things and so forth, but you're also doing these photographs, like the before, during, and after kind of photographs. Like you're doing it like each one is a scientific experiment. And I don't mean to make that sound cold and calculated, like you don't love these plants, because I know you totally, I know they're companions to you, like all my plants are to me, you know, that you love them. And it's not just the science, but you had this pothos, Marble Queen, I think, that you had given a space out on your balcony this summer, and you showed what it looked like, both the difference coloration and the growth and so forth, indoors, you know, versus outdoors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would actually say that, to me, experiment doesn't sound too cold, but if anyone wants to think about it, you know, a bit more warmly, I would think about it like, you know, just think of the warm feeling you get when you watch like little pictures of your puppy when it was a puppy and it grew up bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like, you can see the progression, right? Same with children too, right?
Right.
So right. When I do that with my plants, that's what I'm looking at, which is not only is it visual proof of what happened, like a documentation for an experiment, but it is also me kind of reminiscing like, oh, look at when this guy was so small, right? And like, look how big it's gotten.
Right.
And yeah, so that's what I do with the photography. And I would say that today's day and age with social media, and literally everyone, actually not even with social media, let's just say by the fact that we all have very high quality phones with good quality cameras on them, it means that we're in an age where we can document anything, right? And I think gardening is one of those things that would really benefit from a shift in the documentation, right? Because I think for decades we could only read words about, you know, how to propagate something, or how to how to, you know, what light is considered good, you know, or position in the house and stuff like that. But then we, like, because before, if you just took it with a film camera, like, you wouldn't think to just take a picture of literally everything going on with your plant,
right? Right.
But now we can, and so I do.
And so it's record keeping, excuse me, and it can also be like diagnostic and so forth.
You know,
can help. And you do consulting. I know you have appointments available on your website, and I'll give a link to that about where if people are having problems with plants or need some houseplant advice. You do consulting virtually and so forth, and which is great. And by email as well, where those photos really come in handy. So in the last few minutes, I just want to ask, you know, again, we're coming to that, like I said at the beginning, and we're coming to that, even though you just had the balcony, you don't have a big outdoor garden area where everybody goes out for the summer, but we're coming to the lower light season, the naturally lower light season. Yes. And do you change any of your other, in these last few minutes, do you change any of your other care tactics? Like, did you stop feeding? Are you backing off with watering a little bit? Is there anything else that goes on for you when we get to the lower light season again? Because I know you're using artificial lights for some, but curious.
I prefer to think of it this way, which is that when I operate my, when I consider my approach to watering, it's never like an active decision of scheduling it, right?
Uh-huh.
Rather, I would say it has always been just by looking at the soil, which implies that I have to constantly check, you know, my plants, which,
yes,
I mean, hopefully if you love your plants, you are looking at them every day, right? But what I mean is, so yes, I probably do water a little less frequently in the winter, but I would say that if you're approaching watering with just the mindset of, okay, this is a plant I water when it's completely dry, this is another plant I water when it's about halfway dry, then you'll reach that halfway dry point. You know, it'll take longer in the winter.
Yes.
And so I don't actively think about that. It just happens that way, right?
Based on observation, you're taking the cues from being in touch with your plants regularly, watching them like a gardener does in the outdoor garden as well. We've got to be in touch with it. We've got to watch for clues of pests, of needs that the plant has and so forth. Clean it up, groom it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know you're a good groomer, taking off those dead leaves or the faded leaves.
I definitely, I like nice looking plants too, but I just also decide to share the fact that, yes, this leaf turned yellow. Yes, this tip turned brown. And, you know, because of the aesthetic quality of the plant, I decided to cut them off. But that's not like, I'm not going to act as if it never happened, you know?
Right. Magically, your plant looks perfect 365 days a year.
Yeah. And I think, like, quite often with social media, when we depict our spaces, we almost always want to present the best, which is, I mean, that's understandable. But I mean, I don't want to ever, like, hide the fact that that has happened, right? Because I think there's a lot of maybe stigma. I don't know if you call it stigma, but like we look at any imperfection on a plant and we start to blame ourselves for it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen, just like skin cells fall off your body, hair falls off your body. Like it's the same as the cycle of nature, right? So we can't put all the onus on our own kind of like skill.
Right. And striving for some kind of unrealistic perfection ideal kind of thing is just going to be disappointment all the time.
For sure.
Well, Daryl Cheng at Houseplant Journal and houseplantjournal.com and author of The New Plant Parent. Again, we're going to have a giveaway with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com of your great book. And I'm so glad to talk to you again. I hope we'll make it a regular thing because I always learn so much from you. And as I said, I really look forward to seeing your adventures and your experiments on Instagram. So thank you, Daryl.
Thanks, Margaret. It was a pleasure for speaking with you.
Underwriting support by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, supplying landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners with new ideas and high-quality flower bulbs for fall planting. Plant tulips, plant daffodils, plant color blends this fall. Available at colorblends.com.
And thanks to all the rest of you too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening and indoor gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.